This is Dan Damon in for John Hockenberry this week on The Takeaway. The military is yet to release the identity of the 38-year-old American soldier who allegedly killed 16 Afghan civilians in a shooting spree. But a picture's emerging of a career soldier under tremendous pressure. Military sources say the gunman was married with two children. Although this was his first deployment in Afghanistan, he had over 10 years of service, including three tours in Iraq. And he's reported to previously have suffered from a traumatic brain injury. Apparently a vehicle he was in rolled. He's had problems at home as well after his last deployment. Despite those issues, the soldier based at Fort Lewis in Washington State was still deemed fit for combat duty. Who makes those decisions? And clearly, with the repercussions in this case, who will take the accountability for them? Joining us, Scott Swain, Director of Veteran Services at Valley Cities Counseling, also a contractor for the Washington Department of Veteran Affairs War Trauma and PTSD Program. And Russell Galletti joins us. Hello to you again, Russell. You're a friend of The Takeaway, most recently deployed in Afghanistan in 2010. Now you're a graduate student in Georgetown Master of Science in Foreign Service Program. Scott, let me begin with you. How does the assessment of a soldier, all these many thousands of American soldiers putting themselves on the line, going into these battle zones, who carries out that assessment? How carefully is it done?
Well, the assessments that are done, you know, primarily through the military, are pretty in depth. The reality is that, you know, everybody's experiences with traumatic brain injury, post-traumatic stress is different. So, you know, it takes a huge assessment to, you know, follow that through. A lot of these things, you know, are what we're seeing in front of us. You know, what are the behaviors that the person is exhibiting at that moment to see if they're, you know, eligible to continue with duty, and that's normally made through the medical staff at Fort Lewis.
And the problem is that many of these crises that people have, they don't emerge until a lot longer than you would expect. I went down to see combat stress. They do this kind of work in the UK, just south of London. A lot of the people they're dealing with fought in the Falklands War. That's 25 years ago or more.
Right. You never know when the things that are going to, you know, pop up throughout your lifetime. I mean, I constantly treat Vietnam War veterans. We're also treating Korean War veterans. It depends upon the experiences of your previous life, you know, prior to the military, and how things have gone since then. A lot of times it's the support systems that you have. We know that frequent deployments, erode some of those resources that you have. And if you can't continually replenish those through your, you know, through the service and, you know, through your own psyche, it just continually adds up. And, you know, what unfortunately we've seen at this point.
Well, Russell, you were in Afghanistan in 2010. What kind of resources, what kind of care could you get? What would you do if you spotted one of your buddies behaving strangely, obviously suffering?
In my experience in Afghanistan, when we were actually out in the field, it was tough to push a soldier or pull a soldier toward help or get help yourself, just because we were very remote from larger forces. But there are always unit chaplains available. My commander was very open to speaking to me, you know, if I had any problems with the way I felt or any of my soldiers. And I know at the strategic level, General Corelli has been the former vice chief of staff of the Army, was very good about getting out there, talking all over the country about the challenge of military suicides and mental health issues. And I'm very impressed with the way the Army has tackled this head on now compared to my first deployment to Iraq in 2004. I'm of the opinion that people seek help when they know it's okay to seek help. And that might be immediately when they feel those things or decades later, like you just mentioned. And so to have a four-star general or a sergeant major say, the time is now, get help, we won't ding you on it, we won't judge you for it, I feel like the military as a whole has gotten better about saying, now is the time to get help if you need it.
Well, that's Russell Galletti. He's most recently deployed in Afghanistan in 2010. And we're talking as well to Scott Swain, Director of Veteran Services at Valley Cities Counseling. And he contracts for the Washington Department of Veteran Affairs as well. And let's talk about the Joint Base Lewis-McChord. Scott, you know this base. It's been called troubled. 11 suicides in the last year, 62 since 2002. Are there problems with how this base is run?
It's really difficult to say. I mean, there's so many contributing factors to, you know, you're looking at a military base with, you know, 40,000 soldiers on it, you know, including and additionally family members. So it's hard to point to one incident. Unfortunately, you know, we're dealing with a lot of mental illness. You know, PTSD, the suicide rates are still off the scale. But again, the Army and the military is really trying hard to combat this. But like you said, you have to be at that right moment to receive treatment. We're hoping that, you know, what we do out of this is, you know, it's a no wrong door policy, that anywhere in the military or in the civilian world that if a soldier, sailor, airman, marine, or Coast Guardsman or their family members show up, we know where to direct them for services. And that's really been the struggle that I think we all have, including the military, is to, you know, get that thing moving. But I do agree that it's been a long war, and we've gotten much better at doing this, but I still think we have a ways to go.
I guess there's a lot more to learn. Let's hear from George Little, the Pentagon press secretary, on this incident.
We're deeply troubled by what happened and are very interested in learning, you know, why, you know, the alleged shooter might have done this. That's obviously going to be a key part of what the investigators look at.
Scott, are we learning more about the pressure after this number of tours?
Yeah, I think we're learning a lot that we have to add the support that the soldiers need and make it available when they need it. I applaud the leadership to try to keep doing that and keep pressuring the soldiers that, look, it's okay to ask for help. We need to reduce the stigma of getting help continually.
And Russell Galletti, just briefly, does this change your idea on whether the U.S. should be there? Is a quicker drawdown, is that what's called for after this kind of incident?
That's a decision that's going to be made at levels that are way higher than I am, and I can only speak for myself. Things like this, incidents that are detrimental to the counterinsurgency effort, they're frustrating for me as a ground soldier who has worked hard to build something in Afghanistan.
Sure, but if you were asked to go, you'd still go.
Absolutely.
Russell Galletti, thanks. Scott Wayne, thanks, from Veteran Services and the Washington Department of Veteran Affairs. This is The Takeaway. We want to know what you think about what's happened in Afghanistan. 8778, My Take.
It's quarter past the hour. Let's take a look at some of our other headlines. In Turkey, Syrian opposition leaders are meeting with Kofi Annan. The UN and Arab League envoy to Syria met with President Bashar al-Assad over the weekend, did not get a ceasefire as he was seeking. British Prime Minister David Cameron is heading to the U.S. for a three-day visit. He'll hold talks with President Obama. The discussions are expected to focus on ending that international mission in Afghanistan. And Yahoo is taking Facebook to court. The internet company is accusing the social networking site of violating its technology patents, 10 of them. You're listening to The Takeaway. You can always reach us with your thoughts at 8778-MY-TAKE. Just like John in New Jersey, he called us to talk about this U.S. soldier who killed 16 Afghan civilians over the weekend.
I would like to suggest that as many of us as possible write a letter. Here is mine. I'm deeply sorry for your tragic loss and the pain which you're experiencing. I send you my love, my best condolences, and I ask for your forgiveness for the American people. We would never condone such a senseless act. Though we have different lives and customs, we are children of the same God. Justice will be done. May you find peace. This needs to be done fast. These letters have to go fast, as reprisals must already be planned. So who can we send these letters to?
That's a good question. We're going to try to get that answer for you, John, in New Jersey. Give us your thoughts. 8778-MY-TAKE. How do the American people deal with a tragedy like this in Afghanistan? In a moment, another sort of activist call out, this one about Joseph Kony. Is that activism or slacktivism? We'll explain in a moment.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.